Like I said, there's new notes. This is by David Prentice. I just take the big words and make them smaller is what I did tonight. Hey, teenagers, let's quit talking, please. So what questions are we trying to answer? Let's get kind of reacquainted where we're trying to go. Last time was a little confusing. I'm not. I'm on presenter view. Extend. There goes.
Okay.
So here's the main question. How did the universe come to be? That's what we're looking at. That's what we're answering as we go along. Our first question we looked at was, did the universe have a beginning? What does the Bible say? Did it have a beginning?
Yes.
Yes. God created it. Evolution, do they say yes or no? Did it have a beginning or was everything always here? Well, most of them try to explain the beginning in the Big Bang, so most of them say yes too. Second question, which model is the simplest that can explain everything? Creation or evolution? Creation is a lot more simple. Courtney, could you take him in the back for me? Thank you. I appreciate it. Courtney's our mobile nursery for tonight. Third question. Could natural law create matter and energy? All the natural things we see, gravity and the thermodynamic laws. The laws of thermodynamics say no. Natural law couldn't have created matter and energy. Amber, thank you. Evolution tries to get around it, but can't. Scientific law tells us that there was a beginning and it was supernatural. The definition of supernatural in the dictionary is something that happens against known scientific laws. Something that happened not caused by scientific laws. And since the thermodynamic laws tell us the beginning didn't have anything to do with scientific laws, then the beginning was supernatural. According to science. So here's what we're working on right now. How did natural elements begin? All those elements you see on the periodic table. Thank the Lord I'm not asking you to memorize the periodic table. Right, guys? You don't want to memorize that right now. Creation says God, in one or two supernatural events, created all the elements. It only took him one or two times. Most likely just once. Why is creation more simple? And God said. That's all it took. And God said, and bam, was created. Evolution says most elements were created in or after the Big Bang, atom by atom. That's what some evolutionists say. Here's where it starts getting complicated. But we're going to go through it step by step, word by word, and figure it out together. Evolution believes that matter first appeared as hydrogen, which only has one thing in the middle. That's all you have to remember. You don't have to know it was a proton or neutron. Just remember it just had one thing in the middle. It had no neutrals in the middle. Just one positive thing. And then they say the next step in creating everything, hydrogen attracted another positive and a negative to make a neutral, which made two in the middle. So now you have a positive and a neutral, a blue and a black, right in the middle. It had to have been perfect. It would have to attract the positive and negative at the exact same time to make the neutral. You remember the magnets we were talking about last time? Hannah, you remember how we can take magnets and sometimes they push each other away, flip them over, and they stick together? Have you ever played with magnets like that? Well, if you try to put magnets together, sometimes they'll push apart if you don't have them faced the right way. Exact same thing with an atom. Two positives can't stay in the middle. You try to put two positives together and they're going to push away, just like in a magnet. So it had to have been perfect. If this was what created them, the blue and the red would have had to come together at the same time to make the black. Hydrogen creates They're saying hydrogen is their God, apparently, because they say hydrogen is what started it all. Hydrogen attracted another positive and negative at the exact same time to make another neutral, is what they said. So now you have three in the middle. Pretty easy to understand, right? Three in the middle. We went from one to two to three. Seeing a pattern, one, two, three. They did it one more time to attract a blue. And finally we have four, and that makes helium. So hydrogen created helium. There's their god, hydrogen. They have a new god. Or they say you could skip three and go from the two, take another two, stick them together. Don't just add one, add two. Guess what? Scientists have actually done this in labs. They've taken two hydrogens, forced them together to make helium. So that must be how each element was created, right? What did scientists call this little experiment? The atomic bomb. Let's get off this train for just a second and look at something that actually makes sense for a minute. The praise God, let's praise God slideshow. Are you going to come up now? There we go. This evolution stuff is getting to the point where, now where'd it go? They're saying so many different things that I like to take a minute and look at truth for a second instead of looking at all the lies they spill out. Psalm 100, verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. It's not about me and our explanations. It's not about us figuring out the Big Bang. It's about God telling us, hey man, this is how I did it. The human stomach. That's an actual photograph. I'm just kidding. It's normally about the size of your fist. Look at your fist, and that's about how big your stomach can be with no food in it. It's about just that big. Well, that little tiny thing can hold about one and a half quarts of food for 3 to 4 hours. If you were ever pregnant and you ate a whole quart of ice cream, that's how it did it. It expanded to about one and a half quart size. And it can hold it for 3 to 4 hours. That much food. 3 to 4 hours. It's tender but tough. It can digest food made of materials much tougher than itself. To do the same thing that the stomach does, we would have to boil much of our food we eat in strong acids at 212 degrees Fahrenheit to do what our stomach and intestines do at 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit. So obviously we haven't figured out anything close to God's awesome process. It has neutralizers in there. Some of the acids in our stomach can dissolve metal. Did you know that, John? Some of the acids in our stomach can dissolve metal. But amazingly, the stomach doesn't digest itself. There's a thin lining continuously oozing out this protective coating. There's this stuff oozing out inside your stomach all the time to protect the wall so it doesn't digest itself. And whenever the acid gets near the wall of your stomach, there's that protective coating to neutralize the acid. That's how it is that your stomach doesn't digest itself. The lining, that special lining in there, sheds half a million cells every minute and replaces them so quickly that we have what amounts to be a new lining on the inside of our stomach every 3 days. That's how often it fixes itself. Isaiah 20, verse 22. He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth. Jeremiah 33, 22. As countless as the stars of the sky and as measureless as the sands of the seashore. We will come back to this momentarily. Back to atoms. Oh, I hit the wrong button. Excuse me. Technical difficulties, that's right. Here we go. Back up there. Page 10, your first blanks. On page 10, your new notes. The Big Bang, or no, these are on your old notes, excuse me, from last week. The Big Bang needs many unexplainable events in order to have happened. It's okay, just forget about it. We don't see this in nature. Here's your blanks again, so it's okay, they're still up there. In nature, remember we were talking about the blue and the black going into the middle? Well, we should see a steady pattern of that. If it is as they say it should be, the atoms should get a black added to the middle, a blue added to the middle, and when you get that blue added to the middle, that's another positive, and that would make a new element. So that's how it should be. If it's as they as evolution says it should be, you should get a black, you should get a blue, and then you should have a new element. Let's see if that actually happens. Add a black. We ended up with four in the middle, remember, and that made helium. Then we add our blue and red at the same time, and it makes a black, and now there's five in the middle. Add a blue, and now there's six in the middle. And now helium creates lithium. So the next element creates the next new element. Was it that simple? Did we miss anything? Wait a minute. Did you know that atoms with any five things in the middle will fly apart? You can't have five things in the middle. It doesn't work that way. Do they have to skip more steps? Or do they only have to skip the five in the middle? Okay, add a black, seven in the middle. Add a blue, eight in the middle. Did we have to skip one there? Actually, atoms with the eight in the middle fall apart too. And they have to skip all the way to nine to get to the next element. Is there a God in kindergarten? Why does it keep skipping all the time? Why can't natural processes have a steady pattern? If it's so easy for this God called natural processes to add protons and neutrons, why does it have to skip some steps? Why can't it just go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? Why can't it stay consistent like that? It had trillions of years to do it, according to them, but apparently it can't figure it out. Let's give our ears a break for another second from what their God says and listen to something awesome about our own God. Back to Isaiah 20, verse 22, which tells us that God knew way back when Isaiah was written that the earth was round. Jeremiah 33, verse 22, tells us that the stars of the sky are as countless as the sands of the seashore. Thank you for agreeing with me, son. The Bible speaks on every subject with absolute accuracy. Just 500 years ago, many people believed that the earth was flat. That was only 500 years ago. But about 2,700 years ago, Isaiah described the earth with a Hebrew word that means something with roundness or sphericity, which means a sphere. That's how he described the earth, as round or a sphere, when everybody else thought the world was flat. God knew it was a sphere. Which kind of makes sense since he's above the earth, you can see it. Hello. So how did Isaiah know? Because God knew. And he directs all the authors of the Bible, all the writers. He's a true author. There we go. About 2,600 years ago, Jeremiah declared that the stars were countless when only 3,000 stars can be seen in clear night with the naked eye, which is all he had. He just had his eyes. And he looked up and he said the stars were countless. Well, if you sat there long enough, night after night, you could count them. There would be about 3,000 stars that you could count. 2,200 years later, Galileo used a telescope. And he looked through the telescope and he said, oh, look, the stars are numberless. You can't count them all. There's an eternity of them out there. So how did Jeremiah know that the stars were countless when all he could see were about 3,000? How did he know? Because he had God tell him. Not until 1930 did Sir James John write that the total number of stars is roughly equal to the total number of grains in the sand on all the seashores of all the world. It only took man 2,500 years to find out that God was right. I want to know how long till we figure out he's right about creation too, instead of arguing with him. Some years, someday, some man like Galileo will figure out a way to prove all these evolutionists wrong. Okay. Yet again, I hit the wrong button. Just look for the happy doggy. Okay. There we go. Oh. There it goes. Okay, back to atoms. So we've seen that atoms can't exist with five in the middle, nor with eight in the middle. Why is this a big deal? Why are we studying this at all? Well, Dr. George Gamow, responsible, he's the one responsible for getting most of the scientific community to believe in the Big Bang. And this is what he admits about the whole ordeal. Your blank's on page 11. Atoms with five or eight in the middle fly apart instantly. We're going to see what he says about them in just a minute. Atoms, five, eight, fall apart. Atoms, five, eight, fall apart. Your blanks will be back up there in just a second. He admitted that it's an unsolvable problem. For all the Big Bang models, this is an unsolvable problem. If atoms come together with five or eight in the middle, they fly apart almost instantly. They could never stay together long enough for evolution to use them as a stepstone for the next element. As we've been seeing, they say, okay, hydrogen, the first element, creates the next element, which is helium, which creates the next element, which is lithium. That couldn't happen because you can't go in order like that. You get to five and it can't go any farther. Somehow it had to skip a step, which would be God. He says, I don't need this element to make the next element. I'll go from helium to lithium if I want to without having to do the steps in between. So why hydrogen and helium? Why is that so important? Observations show us that perhaps 99% of the matter in the universe is made up of these two elements. To make the rest of the elements in the Big Bang, it has to combine these two. How hard is it to combine hydrogen and helium? Let's see. So what's hard about putting them together? Hydrogen has one in the middle. Remember, it has one blue one, which is a positive. Helium has four in the middle. Okay, so if you take one plus four, what do you get?
Five.
What happens if you have five in the middle? It flies apart. So that's why it's hard to put those ones together. Could we do it a different way? Okay, strike one. Strike one. Let's try a different way. What about two of the same kind? Okay, let's take two hydrogens instead. No neutrons, remember, you just have one positive and one positive. If you try to put two positives together, remember the magnets, what happens? It flies apart again, instantly. So that wouldn't work either. Okay, what about two heliums? Four and four makes
eight.
What happens when you have eight in the middle? It flies apart instantly. Their Big Bang theory ain't working out for them real well. Strike two. Strike. So our final conclusion. Besides a few, elements could not have been created in the Big Bang. You're out of here. Page 12. Your next blanks. They, which are evolutionists, rely on what they can't see as much as we do. You have four blanks. They rely, can't see. Or you could put they really can't see. I think that makes sense too. They rely, can't see. They're going to be on the next couple slides, as always. Now what story will they try? Big Bang's not working out for them. Do they have something else we could turn to? It happens in the stars where you can't see. Duh, there's that little boy again. I think that's the perfect duh face. Could it happen in ordinary stars? That's where they say it all happens in the stars where you can't see. Well, let's see if that could actually happen. In astronomy, you'll hear, if you go to astronomy class in college, they'll tell you, oh, by the way, last time I said astrology, I meant astronomy. Astrology is Pisces and Virgo and all that stuff. We don't believe in that here. So just forget that when you hear astrology, if you listen to the last tape, it was supposed to be astronomy. If you go to astronomy class, you'll hear them say, Stars spend most of their lives performing nuclear fusion, turning hydrogen into helium. Near the end of its life, a star has a helium flash, and it either makes helium, four in the middle, and combine it with another helium. What happens if you put four and four together? You get eight, and what happens? Flies apart. So that's what they say. Well, it can happen in the stars, because you can't see it, so how can you prove me that I'm wrong? Somehow they say it stays together long enough to combine with another helium to make carbon, which has 12 in the middle. And then another 4 to make oxygen, which has 16 in the middle. And say, see, I figured out how oxygen came to be. It all happened in the stars, and that's how it happened. But we're going, hey, every time we see 4 and 4 to come together, it flies apart. They're like, well, it happens in the stars. You can't see it. But we know it's happening. Well, instead of the 8, they say, okay, even if the 4 and 4 couldn't come together, then we'll take 3 helium, which has 4 in it, and we'll fuse them all together at the same time to make 12. 3 times 4 is 12. So they got, imagine I have another hand up here. 3 of them come together all at once, at the exact same time. How plausible is that? Could that really be happening? Are you going to buy it?
No.
It may have a few problems. Teenagers, even you wouldn't want that car. Here's just 3 problems this lemon has. Obviously, we already said 8 can't stay together for more than an instant. Anyway, it's observed, no matter how hot it is, as soon as 4 and 4 come together, flies apart. None of this can be observed. You can't see it. So they are telling you it's true. You can say, how is it true? You can't see it. And here's your 3rd problem. The center of atoms are so infinitely small that the chance of getting 2 to slam together is extremely small. Let alone 3. 3 atom centers colliding once would be extraordinary. Just to get 3 of them together one time would be extraordinary. They say it happens over and over and over, and that's where we get everything from. What a story. Nice bedtime story. I'm not telling it to my kids, except to laugh at the ones that are wrong. For most of the elements to be created, it would require temperatures of hundreds or thousands of times hotter than what appears to be in normal stars for any of these elements to be able to come together as they say it does. And they just told us it happened in the stars where we can't see, right? Well, apparently not all of them can be created in the stars. They're just not hot enough. So how are they going to get around this one? Come back next time to see the next batter up. Bring your notes or leave them here because you're going to need them. And I'll go ahead and close this in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this time.